You're listening to the Salty Saints Podcast with Will and Angela Williams, a podcast meant to motivate you, encourage you, and sometimes convict you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, grow in your faith, and stand firm to the end. Here are the Salty Saints.
Hey everyone, we are excited to be back today bringing another podcast episode. And I know that if you listened to our last message, then you heard my blog post that I had addressed the church in. And I also had put some links in that episode so that you could go back and listen to a couple of episodes that we have co-hosted with other people's podcasts and one of our friends that has a YouTube channel. And I hope you were able to check all of those out. But the reason that I bring that up at the beginning of this is because I know in some of our previous messages, we have talked about where the church is failing as a whole, the church system. And we had said that we were going to start talking about some of that. And the Lord just really keeps putting things on our heart, both on our platforms, here on the podcast, on the blog, and also in real life, where we are interacting with different groups of people. And the Lord just keeps moving us to stand firm on His Word, on the truths that He has shown us over the years, and to just be bold in our message. So that's what we're going to do. And if you know us at all, you know that we seek to be God pleasers in all that we do and not men pleasers. And we also understand that the messages that we bring are maybe controversial, they're not popular, and we're okay with that because we understand that the closer we get to the cross, the smaller the crowd. So if you are going to hang with us, we appreciate you. We're glad for every person who listens and follows us in any way. We love the body of Christ. Let us say that loudly and proudly. But we are very concerned for what we see infiltrating the church system, and just what we see on a worldwide scale in the terms of just rampant sin and destruction, and really everything is just playing out according to what the Bible says. And if you are in your Bible, then you understand that God has given us so many warnings to not be deceived in these days, and we can just see prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes. Exactly what He told us was going to happen is happening. And if you do follow my blog and you read my post that I made yesterday, do not be deceived. I gave tons of scripture where Jesus Himself, Paul, and many other writers of the New Testament warned us about the evil days that we're living in now and told us how important it would be to not be deceived, including by those who are leaders in the church system. So, you know, it says prophets and leaders and pastors and teachers and all this. So we really have to have our discernment up, and we have to really be in the Word of God in these days. So having said all that, what we want to talk about today is, how soft are we on sin? Do we really call sin sin? And having said that, I think Will's going to go ahead and start us off.
So, hey guys, this is a very important topic, because when you look at the mainstream church, and what we call churchianity, or we've heard it called pop culture Christianity, when you look at what's out there right now, and when you see the things that are there, we see a lot of people that, you know, you can pack a building out. When you pack it out, it's usually because you're not addressing what is in the culture. You're going with the flow of the culture. So it's easy to pack something out whenever, you know, the topic of homosexuality, transgenderism,
abortion,
you know, all these major hot button topics that are out there that honestly, the ones that say yes to these topics that are like, they're for it, is usually on the liberal side. And why is the church, that's the last place? I'm not political, I can care less about conservative or liberal, but whenever you look at what is out there and the value system of it, the church should be the last place that would take the stance of liberalism, because liberalism hates the traditional family. Liberals hate they hate God, and they hate children, and they're wanting to take our children and flip what we would normally say, a boy or girl, and flip it on its head and say they can say whatever they feel like. And so what we're going to talk about today is calling sin, sin. And why is, you know, there are certain pastors out there that will preach on this stuff, right? And that's great. But are they addressing it in their church, their congregation? Actually, you can preach it from the pulpit, but are you addressing it? When you find someone in there that, you know, that is living out what they call their life, when it's actually a sinful lifestyle, are they just doing it outright and there's no conviction, because there's no one actually pulling them aside and saying, hey, let's look what the Word of God says and see where you're standing at in the eyes of God. Because when you do that, you're not being the sin police, as I have been told before in one of the churches that we attended. It was a very large church in our area that they say you don't want to be a sin police. But when you look at the body and at what the Word says about who do we judge, when it says, oh, that word judge, you know, when you see that, it's not actually judging as in what most people say. It's addressing the problem. And we need to address the problem in the camp.
I actually have the scripture for that. It was one of them that I had looked up. Yeah. So this is pretty cool, because let me tell y'all what God did this morning. He gave me a buttload of scriptures, topics, I should say, scriptures too, but topics, you know, that we could talk about for the podcast. Different ideas for episodes. How many did I send you, babe?
Oh, man, like four different sheets.
I have a ton of ideas, just a huge list of things that we can talk about and address in our upcoming messages. So we're really excited about that. And what we did, we just went through them this evening, and we actually chose this topic because it was something that we had just talked about and dealt with one of our friends this week. And so we'll go a little bit more into detail about what spurred it on. But I looked up a few verses, Will looked up a few verses, and we had no idea which ones that we were picking. But as God always does, He worked with both of us, we actually picked some out of the same book and chapter. And anyway, but this is one of the sections that I had picked, and it's out of 1 Corinthians 5, 7 through 13. And this is the chapter over sexual sin in the church. That's the first part of the chapter, but then it goes into verse 7. It's talking about the church must be separate. It says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, for then you need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you to not keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such a one do not even eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not you judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person." So, as Will just said, this is talking about those who are in the camp, those who profess to be believers in Christ. And I don't know about y'all, wherever y'all live, but here in our area, everyone thinks that they know Jesus. They all either go to church, were raised in the church, have some sort of influence from the church culture, yet so many people live this kind of lifestyle, exactly who Paul was getting on to, you know, and he said, don't even eat with these people. He said, we are to judge those within the body of Christ, those who profess to be believers. God will judge those who are outside, those who say that they don't believe in God, they don't believe in Christ. Those, we're not to judge those in their sin. We expect them to live in sin.
And you know, with this verse, these people that she just named are in habitual sin.
Yes.
And it's not that someone just every now and then gets drunk. No, back in that time, whenever he was looking at these the people there, these were people that accepted that sinful lifestyle and said, and pretty much said, it's okay. And they're abusing grace. Mm-hmm. And so I guarantee you that these people have been addressed, that somebody has went up to them and said, what are you doing? And that is that's what you do. That's what you're supposed to do. But see, the difference is in that day, there wasn't, the Baptist church on the corner, then maybe more of a liberal church down the road. And then there was, you have a Lutheran church over here, or, they can drink wine, so we might go over there with them. No, there was only one body. And so there wasn't places that they could just break off and go to. The whole point of someone breaking fellowship with someone because they have not... because there's a process that Paul goes through where he goes and addresses somebody. Then if they don't fix it, or repent over it, he brings another person. So then they do the same thing. They plead with them and say, hey, look, we want to help restore you. We want to help you to get to overcome this habitual sin. And they say, get away from me. I'm going to live the way I want to live. So then they say, we'll bring you in front of the whole church, mm-hmm. meaning the group that they're with.
Yeah.
And then
usually a home fellowship.
It's usually a home
fellowship. With a close-knit community.
Yes.
And so it would hurt them to be put outside the group.
Yes, because they love one another. And they're not just going to go run down to the next lukewarm church. Mm-hmm. They're going to go down and there's no one else. This was the people of God. And so it was totally different than what we have here. If someone approached somebody and they were living in outright, sin, say, just say two homosexuals that are married sitting in a, is that right in God's sight? No, it's not. No matter how you swing it, no matter, what cultural understanding you take, God says it's wrong. So we must pronounce that in the body. Doesn't mean we don't love them. But we're calling sin, sin.
That's right.
And so, and it's called accountability, and that's every single person. I should be held accountable for me. Angela should be held accountable. Every person in the body of Christ needs to be held accountable. But that word is a trigger word. There's many trigger words, and I've talked about that before. Accountability is one of them. Nobody wants to be held accountable. They want to show up to a church, listen to a sermon. If the sermon fits their lifestyle, itching ears, they'll sit and stay, and they'll stay in that church. Soon as the sermon rubs against them wrong, they'll go to another church to find the itching ears. They're not even trying to. When I say church, we know how we feel about the system. So you're going to find that throughout. You're going to find different places might preach hard, but what they actually practice is something completely different. They don't practice what they preach.
Well, and like you said, does it cost them anything to preach a hard message from in the safety of the four walls of their church building?
It doesn't, sadly.
Are they doing anything different out in the culture? Are they calling sin, sin outside the church walls?
Right.
So are they calling people to repent and giving them the gospel out in the world?
Most of the time, no. There's only a few pastors that are probably out there. And see, the pastor should be training their flock. The people there, the overseers should be training them. And how do you train somebody? You show them by example.
Yeah.
Not by just being big and tough behind the pulpit. If you have a pastor that says, they preach against homosexuality, is that the way they live? Not hating. We're not talking about hating someone that's gay, just like we're not talking about hating someone that's in an adulterous affair. We're talking about actually trying to reach out, love them, and show them through the Word, not just let them sit there and waller in their sin and live in habitual sin. We're not supposed to be living in habitual sin. Habitual means
lifestyle.
It's an everyday lifestyle moment and thought that you feel it's okay, that God is okay with what you're doing. We started off back in the day, you look in the, from the 60s on, really from probably the late 50s, early 60s, a divorce started happening and the percentage of divorces started increasing. And that was in the church also. And it just got more numb. And so it just was accepted. And then homosexuality was creeping in. You started having affairs in the church, and it was just rampant. And today, it's all that stuff is normalized because when we're watching TV shows, when we're looking at the culture, what is normalized in culture? Having affairs, you know.
Well, and if you think about it, it just came across my mind that it's sexual sin is at the root of it. You know, you think of all the pornography, every person that's so, you know, consumed with pornography these days, and that's just a ripple effect. It affects everything.
Real quick on the pornographies. I found this out this week. It was a brand new poll. 73% of United States pastors, youth pastors to head pastors, are engulfed in porn. 73% of them. Go ahead.
And would you tell me yesterday that you would venture to say it's more
I believe 90%. I believe it's 90%. I know men, and there are so many that are hiding in that sin, and they end up going outside of the pornography because it's not enough, and they end up having affairs, or they end up, you know, youth pastors and stuff end up having relationship with underage girls or boys. And they ended up going to prison or whatever. So you're seeing things that are happening in the church that everybody, you know, I think the Catholic Church is apostate, but everybody picks on the Catholic Church with the priest and all these things. It is happening just as much in the Protestant church.
Yeah.
It's happening just as much. So, you can look at FBC right now. That's the largest denomination in the Protestant side. That's First Baptist churches. That's, when I say First Baptist, you look at Southern Baptist.
SBC,
I'm sorry. It's SBC. And they are having tons of problems between the wokeness and finding out people that are abusing people in that system, and finding out pastors. And it's not just, you know, sexual things. It's also being abusive to women that are actually called to, you know, have a ministry of some sort. So you're looking at a big, broad picture of things that are happening in the Protestant side that people just look at for the Catholics. No, it's all the way across the board. It's not because of Protestant versus Catholic. It's the system.
That's right.
It's how the system is set up. It is made for us to have that kind of fail in it.
Well, it's kingdoms of men.
It's kingdoms of men. And so we don't have accountability. You cannot, a pastor, I'm telling you right now, even a pastor of 100 people cannot be held accountable enough. Because it's usually one person. Yeah, you got deacons that are really not doing what they're actually doing, but you got deacons or elders, but they're not really holding the pastor accountable. You know why? Because they're usually intimidated by him, or this is basically their boss. You know, whenever you look at, especially when it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, these mega churches, look at what's going on with Hillsong. There's a whole documentary from a secular group that did a documentary over the Hillsong debacle about Brian Houston. You go and watch that. It's on Netflix. You go there and you watch that, and you're like, you can tell that they are trying to punch in the face the church, because they're basing Hillsong, what's happening there, and they're saying that's in the church. Well, to some degree, they're right when it comes to the system, because it's there. And we are not calling sin sin.
That's right. And what I was going to say back, you know, was that the pornography and the people fulfilling their sexual, you know, the lust of the flesh, right? That we are called to be putting off. We are supposed to put off the works of the flesh, not give in to those things, not live in our same sinful lifestyles once we have come to Christ. But you've got people that are fulfilling the lust of their flesh rather than crucifying their flesh.
That's right.
And they are, you know, from porn addiction to adultery, you know, actually committing the act, to, like you said, pedophilia, abortion, because there's babies that come into the picture that are unwanted. You've got homosexuality. I mean, you've got all of this stuff that is just rampant. Now, you said, like you said, the transgender movement and all the LGBTQ plus whatever, all that that comes along with that. What we have done is we have allowed that to permeate the church rather than the church permeating the culture. And, you know, just like you said, we're not being bold and taking a hard stance on it. And we haven't in many years. We are weak. We give a weak message. We have a weak,
they're scared. The pastors are scared to do what the word says because they feel like they're going to, these people, they're going to say, well, they are hating on the homosexuals. No, it's not about hating the homo. It's loving them. It's any sin that someone is a habitual sin in.
Revelation 21:8 tells us who exactly is not going to inherit the kingdom
of God. That's right, and we should be warning them.
That's right, it's a warning. Why is sin so bad? What does Romans 6:23 say about sin? The wages of sin is death.
That right there should scare the crap out of everybody. Mm-hmm. Because you know what? No one is going to get... See, people are not going to go into hell because God's going to throw them there and they're not deserving of hell. We're all deserving of hell.
That's right.
But we also... We earned hell by the wages.
That's right.
We earned hell because the wages of sin, you are getting what you paid for. You're getting what...
What you deserve, what you earned.
Your wages is death. And, you know...
The good news is the other part of that verse. Right. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. But to come to Jesus our Lord, we have to submit and surrender our lives to Him wholeheartedly. Lay down the old us. Be crucified in Christ. And it is not us any longer that lives, but Christ that lives in us, mm-hmm. right? That's your life verse.
That's my life
Galatians
verse.
2:20. So what we're saying is that there is a hefty price to pay for sin. And it's either we are going to pay it with our own soul going into hell, or Jesus paid that price for us. And we are to be cleansed, washed new, regenerated, and given the gift of reconciliation so that we can go out and tell others the good news.
But listen, in Romans 5:20-21, it says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, that those two verses say, you know, grace abounds, right? But see, this is where people stop. You keep reading in chapter 6, verse 1,
yeah.
He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
God forbid.
How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us are that we were baptized in Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life.
Amen.
So the understanding of abusing grace, this is where we're going to do a whole podcast on this too, I think, at some point. But to abuse grace is the root of being soft. when I say that,
soft on sin.
Soft on sin, but see where the pastors mess up because they're afraid to lose people.
Because they're paying their paychecks.
They're compromised because of money, because it's a career, because it's a job. And it was never meant to be a job.
That's right.
It was never meant to be about you pay me, I preach to you. The gospel is free. The gospel, the word of God should be taught freely among the of God's people. So when you teach the word of God and you don't hold back of what it says, you're either going to offend or you're going to convict. That's it. It's not me offending or convicting. It's God offending or convicting. Because all we're doing is reading what the word says. And a lot of people will hear this and they say, well, you're really hard on people. No, we're hard on sin.
That's right.
We love the people and we want the people to come out of the sin. I'm not talking about sinless perfectionism. I'm talking about habitual sin.
Yeah.
Sin that will lead you straight to hell.
That's
because
right.
You cannot live in habitual sin and go to heaven.
That's right.
You can't. I'm sorry to say this. When God saved you, He forgave you of your sins. But your life, some people say, oh, but He forgave me of all my future sins. When you look at that, when you look at that view, that means that you can do exactly what chapter 6 says. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? And he says, God forbid. We're not supposed to continue. What he's talking about is habitual sin. You cannot live in habitual sin. I don't care how you've been rededicated. I don't care what prayer you said. It is something that we have to really look at. It's the sanctification part. And you're like, well, brother, I've been justified. You have been justified, but it's also abiding in Christ. We can get into all that at some other time, but you need to understand there are warnings in the Bible for a reason.
That's right.
And we really need to read it as is, not with a tradition or doctrines that you have been taught in your church, if it's a Baptist church or whatever it is. You cannot trust that over the word.
That's right.
You can't trust what Jesus says himself. He says, if you abide in me,
you have to trust
I will
what Jesus
abide
said
in
himself.
You. Abiding, when you look up that word, it means to stay. It means to remain in Christ. You remain in his love. That's what, go read John 15 and he will explain it to you. So we're giving this out so that we can talk to people that might be living in habitual sin, because you can be freed from that. Jesus says, for you to be holy, for I to be holy as Jesus is holy. And how do, we say it all the time. Jesus is not going to tell us something that we can't do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what Billy Graham says. I don't care what Greg Laurie says. I don't care what any person that gives these big, huge, mass calls out for people to come to Christ, but then they come to Christ, and then what happens to them? They just get thrown out there, and there's no discipleship. There's no understanding of the cost of following Jesus, and then the people that are out there that they might fall in a church with, that pastor is easy on sin.
And that's another, I think you probably just brought up four or five different topics for podcast episodes. Once saved, always saved is going to be one. The mass altar call stadium type salvation events. What else was I just thinking of?
I know what just popped in my head about the mass amount. People will try to say, but look at the 5,000 that got saved. Look at all these people that got saved. And you know what happened with those people? They were plugged, the Christianese plugged in. They all started meeting in houses and they started being discipled.
Yeah, and we don't see that.
That's
today.
What happened.
That's another, talking about the discipleship is mandatory and
yes.
It's severely lacking here. So
they didn't all, those mass amount of people met in a mass building. They all broke off into homes, and that's the way that they were discipled. They had people there that would walk with them and show them and be in their life.
Oh, that was another topic. It's going to be over true and false conversion.
Yes, very needed.
Mm-hmm.
Because just think about it. Tares and wheats, true and false conversion. If you don't have, the tares look just like the believers. They're in with the believers.
Planted in the church by Satan.
So whenever you look at tares, I give you a preview. A tare is also called a bastard wheat. A bastard wheat is a weed that looks just like the wheat. The difference between the wheat and the bastard wheat, the wheat, when it actually has the grains on it, it gets heavy and bows down. If you ever seen grain, wheat, it bows down. It's heavy. The bastard wheat does not. It stands up in pride. But it looks just like it has wheat on it, and that's how you can tell the one from the other. And so the tares and the wheat are grow up together. You have goats and sheep. You have people that are saying, when Jesus separates people, he's going to put one on one side and one on the other. When you look at the 10 bridesmaids, 5 had oil in their lamp, 5 didn't. It's plain.
Yeah.
When you start reading scripture, I don't need John MacArthur to tell me how to determine, how to decipher that.
No, I have the Holy Spirit.
Yes. We have the Holy Spirit for that. We know how to read our Bible in context. And so, you have people that minister to that. I don't care what Charles Stanley says.
Yeah.
A lot of these people, they teach false doctrine that actually, and I know that will probably rub some people the wrong way, but you need to see what they teach. And I disagree with them on it.
Yeah.
I totally disagree with them because they're actually going against what Jesus actually says. And
that's
I trust Jesus over someone that are multimillionaires.
That's right.
Because of a ministry. So that is, I'll get off my, my soapbox there. So, but the biggest thing that we need to look at is when if you're sitting under somebody, you're sitting under them for them to help you grow. Ultimately, you're sitting under Christ. Whatever group you sit in, whatever it is that you call church, and whatever pastor that is over that group of people, he is a under-shepherd of the great shepherd.
That's right.
And in fact, those people that he have sits underneath him are not his people. They're God's people.
That's right.
And so if that person is not calling sin, sin, and actually teaching and preaching to help you to recognize that we need to love them enough, if someone is sitting in that group of people and they're habitual, whatever it is, if they're homosexuals or if they're adulterers, if they're, someone that is an actual alcoholic, you ever seen the show I think it's on AMC, where the people actually have, what is the name of it, where they actually, the families go and they confront their loved one about their addiction?
Oh, My Strange Addiction?
No, not My Strange Addiction. It's, I forget the name of it, dang it.
Oh, Intervention?
Intervention.
Yeah.
That happens in secular homes when someone is highly addicted and you see their life just going down the toilet. And the whole family gets around and said, we need to have an intervention. We need to go to this person and say, we love you. You need to come out of this. We will help you. Why don't we see that in the church?
Yeah.
It's because people are afraid to lose people at that church because they'll go somewhere else.
Yeah.
But if you really love somebody, you will approach whatever that habitual sin is that is leading them to hell. I don't care. If you have two homosexuals that are in a relationship that's sitting or married, quote unquote, in a church, and they've said the prayer and were baptized, that means nothing if their life is actually given over to Satan.
Yep.
And I know that's a hard statement, but it is. We all fall short. We all sin. But it's a big difference between habitual sin and falling in sin.
That's right.
It's a big difference. And Jesus made known of that. The woman that was caught, the woman at the well was an adulteress, and also the woman that was caught in the adulterous affair that Jesus stooped down and drew a line in the sand. And he said, he actually told her to go sin no more. To go, and your sins have been forgiven, go sin no more.
Mm-hmm.
What was he talking about? He was talking about her habitual sin of adultery.
Yeah.
And he said, go and sin no more. He didn't say, if you go live in that and you get caught in it, grace is going to cover you and you're good to go. If that's the case, we all need to just go dive into whatever favorite sin we have. We're all going to make it to heaven because we said the prayer, and we're good to go then.
That's so wrong and so unbiblical.
That's one saved every. That's one saved always saved.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. And it's so unbiblical, and it's so dangerous, and it's so damning. So y'all have to hear us. We truly feel like we're on a rescue mission to the church system, to brothers and sisters who honestly have not been taught any better, who, you know, I mean, if y'all are listening to this and you do know better because you dig into your word and you're a Berean, praise God, hallelujah, we're so grateful for you, and we pray that you do continue to listen to us, because maybe you just need another voice of reason. Maybe you think you've been alone in reading scripture the way that you have, and you've seen so much wrong, and you've understood that this system is failing. Praise the Lord, like I said, because there, many people are waking up to this, and we are so grateful. God has connected us with brothers and sisters in Christ around the globe who understand and are seeing that there's so much wrong out there. But you know what we all feel like? We all feel like we are just alone on an island where God is with us. The Holy Spirit is empowering us, equipping us, teaching us, showing us all these things. But it's like, how do we come up against the masses who are just institutionalized, who are just indoctrinated? And, you know, we believe God has called us to this time, to this place, for such a time as this. We are needed out there. And so if you are listening and you find yourself in that same position, I'm telling you, we are needed. We need to be not only bringing the gospel to the lost, but we need to be bringing the gospel to the church. They need it. They need to know what Jesus said. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We cannot be soft on sin because souls are at stake, and death is the price to pay, spiritual death.
Ooh, judgment starts in the house of God, people.
That's right.
So if you have a mass amount of people encouraging you, and in your sin, something's wrong. If someone says, if you have a group of people that says you're covered under grace, you know, we want, you know, yeah, we know that you're living in this deep, dark, you know, sin, but you're covered under grace, you're gonna make it to heaven. If someone is telling you that, that is a message from the pit of hell.
That's right.
Because that's not the heart of God. Not from the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, into the New Covenant. You see, the New Covenant is a better covenant. But listen, when Jesus says, if you look at a woman and lust, right? Just looking at a woman to lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. The Old Covenant says if you're caught in adultery, it's the physical act. So Jesus, the better covenant is not more laxed on sin. Jesus is even harder on the sin.
Yeah.
And we need to look at it. And it's not a white knuckled. It's because you have fallen in love with Jesus and you're staying and remaining in Christ because you are in love with Christ. Not because you're following a set of rules. And it's a big difference, because when you call sin, sin, and God can relieve you of that sin, and when you are willing and you surrender to Him, you're surrendering to Him because you know, for one, He can do it, and second, that you have fallen madly in love with Him.
That's right. And we're going to have some episodes coming up where we talk about specific sins and how to be free from them, because God is so good that He gave us His only begotten Son, that He gave us, yes, Jesus, and that Jesus does cover our sin. But like Will said, we don't spit in His face and continue to live in that sin. He calls us out of that sin, out of that pit, out of that bondage, and we are set on a new path, the narrow path. And so it's so important. And also, I know that for the sake of time, we need to be wrapping up, but I wanted to say, because I said earlier that we were going to say what inspired this topic, was that we had had a conversation with a lady earlier this week. And if y'all have listened to our messages from the beginning, you know that we go to Planned Parenthood and we stand and we preach the gospel and we call the moms and the dads, you know, all the adults that are there, whoever brings the women, the workers, security guards, whoever, the doctors, anybody that we can come into contact with, we call them to repent. We give them the gospel. We tell them exactly what they're doing. They are involved in murdering babies there. You know, it's a horrific thing for money. It's horrible. We have to be able to say that is the truth, that is what's happening. But we don't just leave it there. We don't just tell them that they're evil, they're wicked, they're going to hell and all this. We don't even say those things. But we do tell them that they are going to stand before a holy God one day. We ask them to reconsider what they are doing. We ask them to please come talk to us and have a conversation. We will adopt the baby. We will point you to other resources. We will help you in any way that we can. And most of all, we offer you the gospel of Jesus Christ. We tell them that there is salvation found in Christ alone. Mm-hmm. And we stand there and we go through all of this. And it is a demonic place. It is a battle, a spiritual battle every time we go. It is literally like you are standing at the gates of hell. It is a very hard mission and ministry that we do. But we go there armed with our full armor on. We go into battle ready and prepared. We have girded ourselves up. We have the full armor on. So we're not afraid. If someone drives by, because it's in a really rough area, it's Houston. And if someone drives by and shoots us, well, guess what? We died in the name of Christ trying to save babies and trying to save souls because they are in the throes of Satan and his demonic forces right there at that place. So we're not soft on them. And we have encountered many other people who are out there that are babying these women, treating these women and the people that are going there like they're the victims. And I'm sorry, the victim in this situation is the baby. Always, every time. The baby is the one who needs protection. The baby is the one whose lives are being taken from them, and they have no say-so and no advocate.
They have no voice in the matter.
That's right.
Except for us.
That's right. So we are out there. And so we had a conversation with a lady because she wanted to go with us, but she wasn't sure if we were meek and kind in our approach. Well, let me tell y'all, meek and kind. Jesus was meek and kind, and that is what he modeled. But he, like we said, the first thing he said was to repent. He told everyone, you must repent of your sin and you must go and sin no more. He was never easy. What did he do when he came into the temple with the money changers? He made whips and he overturned the tables, and he had a righteous indignation, a righteous anger. So we have to understand, when we are angry against sin because babies are being murdered, there is a way that we can approach people and that we can portray the message that is loving and kind. But I'm telling you right now, just like we explained to this lady, you literally might have a 30-second window to plead with these women, and from the time that they walk from their car to the building. What can you say in 30 seconds?
You have to
prick
the conscience of them. A conscience, everyone has it. God gave it to us. It's con with science, knowledge, with knowledge of right and wrong. We try to send what the Holy Spirit gives us through the gospel to prick their conscience so they can see and feel what they're about to do is wrong.
That's
in the
right.
eyes of God and the eyes of man.
Yes.
It is wrong. No matter how you swing it, the rights of the baby comes first, not the mother.
That's right.
The mother is supposed to be the baby's protector.
Yes.
Not the executioner.
That's right. And that's what I always say to them from the heart of a mother to a mother, is to remind them that the womb should be the safest place on earth for a baby. It should be.
But
that is
dangerous.
That is a God-given responsibility, privilege, blessing, and role that is only available to mothers. So again, you know, I just wanted y'all to understand why or where our heart is, that we feel like we are being as meek and as kind and as loving as we possibly can be by still standing firm on God's truth and calling people to repent of their sins. So do y'all understand there is a difference? There is a difference. We cannot just be mushy-gushy, treat everyone like they're a victim of the sin that they're in. No, we choose our sin. We choose the sinful lifestyles that we live. And we are not victims. We can be victors in Christ, and then we can let other people know that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one will ever come to the Father except through Him. That is the good news, that Jesus paid the price for our sin, but we must come out of it and walk with Him.
To baby the sin is giving that sinful state and also Satan a grasp in your life that you'll never get away from. And if someone babies that sin and fluffs that, I call it this all the time, if you're laying in a bed, you make that bed and you lay in it, that sinful state you go lay in, what does a pastor do? If he does it, he goes and fluffs your sin pillow so that you can lay comfortably in it. That's not what we do. We pull you out. We want to get you out of that bed onto the path of righteousness.
And y'all, we have seen in the church, I'm just going to say this and then we're going to close. I know we're gone way over, but I don't know. This all just really needed to be said. We have seen so much in the church. I could literally write a book about all that we've seen in the church system. And I'm sure a lot of you could too. If you're honest with yourself, about the things that you have seen,
don't excuse it.
You could admit too that it is so, so wrong. And it's exactly what the Bible tells us that we should not live like. We see that all around us in the church system. We have seen a lot of these things that we are speaking on, we have seen in the church where the church did not address them in any way. We've seen homosexuality. We've seen rampant amounts of divorce. We have seen adultery. We have known people personally that families have been split apart. Churches have been split apart over adultery. We have seen pedophiles in the church more than one. We have had, I'm not going to go into all the details, but we have had personal encounters in many of these areas where someone's habitual sin has caused so much harm and so much damage to the lives of other people and then was never, ever dealt with. Nothing happened. Swept under the rug.
Because of the image of the church, quote unquote, building.
That's right. And it's disgusting and it's despicable and it's a spit in the face of our Savior. So do not tell. And then we've been told by people because we left the church that either we weren't saved, you know, certain things were our fault or just whatever. And I mean, I'm telling you, we are Bereans. We seek God, and we have from the beginning. We seek Him through His Word and through the Holy Spirit. We abide in Him around the clock. We don't need a church attendance or a denomination, you know, belonging membership to a certain body of people. No, we belong to the body of Christ. Jesus is our head. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our King. We submit to Him. We worship Him and we honor Him in our lives every single day. So to tell us, you know, what we have heard from people, and it's not that we are unforgiving or that we don't love, you know, the body.
Or we don't want accountability. Yeah. Because we do want accountability and we have people in our life that will hold us accountable.
That's right.
But it doesn't take a denomination to do that. It doesn't take what most people call church to do that. It's the body of Christ as a whole. And when you are with groups of people that you love that can actually hold you accountable,
it's so much true, more real.
That's true accountability. I want someone to come to me and say, "Will, I'm seeing something happen with you." And I want a brother to do that with me,
yeah,
because
amen.
that will bring us to the point of repentance. Because we need that.
Yes.
But you can't have that in your typical church setting because everybody has masks on at that time.
Yeah.
And we want to see the church. I'm telling you right now, we need a new reformation. Not that crap that's out there, the new apostolic. I'm not talking anything about that. I'm talking about we didn't reform enough.
That's right.
We need to reform more.
We need to go back to the biblical model.
Yes.
We need to go back to the first church.
And start there afresh.
That's right.
And yes, we're human. Yes, we're sinful people that mess up. But you know what? We can get out of this system. But yet, we have a short amount of time right now. We need to be victorious. We need to be courageous. And then we need to be calling sin, sin.
That's right. We need to be preparing others, making disciples. So, all right, y'all. Well, this was a fiery one, but I hope you stayed with it.
Yep. So please go share Jesus with somebody.
Yes. The world, this dark world, needs your light now more than ever. We'll see y'all next time.
God bless.
Thanks so much for listening in to the podcast. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share. You can listen to our previous shows and read our blog post at www.saltysaints.blog.